Amen. All right. You guys can have a seat.
I believe in God and everything, but I believe him in my own way.
I wasn't raised in a church, and I don't know, just always believe that you don't have to go somewhere to worship.
No, I don't.
I most certainly do.
No.
Yes?
No.
Do you go to church anywhere?
No.
Not right now. We're in the process of finding a church.
Not right now. She does.
No.
No, I don't. Don't want to.
That's a good question.
Just because I believe they push too many issues on you, and they all say you're going to hell anyway. So my own personal beliefs is your gut tells you what you do is right or wrong. So I don't need to go to some places telling me automatically that I'm automatically going to be in the wrong everywhere.
Religion is private to me.
But I don't think it's necessary. And I think it instills fear. I think it's, I mean, that's a huge question.
Because I was like more spiritual than that. I was more in the spiritual belief, not the Christian belief, but I'm starting to get into that whole Christian belief thing.
Organized religion, I feel skeptical of.
It's pretty boring, though.
Hypocrites. There's a lot of them out there. And I don't like people that just go to church on Sunday and go back to their normal lives the rest of the week.
I didn't like it when I was little, and I'm not forcing it on anybody.
When I've gone, they've always been highly after my pocket, and I get skeptical of that.
Okay. I do not believe in organized religion. I think it's very hypocritical. I think that you can have your own personal relationship with God, and it can be many forms, and there are a lot of paths to God, and I'm actually a preacher kid.
I should go to church. I should go to church a lot more.
To go back to church? I guess if I wanted to, or I thought I needed it.
Are we left here on our own?
Now, if you're a good church person, like me, haha, you're probably going to have one of two responses to that video I just shared with you. Can I get some help, Peter? This fell off when I went to put it in my pocket. Thanks. You're either going to get defensive of it and be like, oh, our church isn't boring, you know, and get all mad that they think that about us. Or you might get judgmental. Bunch of heathens. What do they know? You know what? My prayer today is that we have neither of those responses. And if you're in Revolution, by the way, you're dismissed to go. They're having a pizza party right now, so you can be part of that if you'd like. That's grade 6 through 12. You know, if I was in that grade, I know, I'd be going. I'd be going for sure. But my prayer is today that as we see that video, we look at those people and we say, the fields are ripe and ready to harvest, like Jesus did, you know? I don't know how many of you are parents, but if you're parents and when your kids were little, did they ever go through a stage where they go, by myself, wanted to do everything by themselves, didn't want your help, did not want you to help. And there were times when one of my kids would say, by myself, Mom, and I would have to pull back and let them try whatever they were trying to do by themselves to show them that they needed me. I think the people in that video are much like that, really. I don't look at them and get angry. I don't look at them and get defensive. I don't look at them and get judgmental. I look at them and go, they're saying, by myself, God, by myself. And you see, it's his job to bring them to a place where they go, I need help. But then it's our job to provide a place to help them. That's our job. Today we're continuing our series on focus. First, we talked about focus, who is God. Then we talked about focus, who is ORC last week. We talked about our beliefs. If you've missed either of those, go online, oakriverchurch.com, and listen to them. I think you'll get a lot out of them. You'll understand where we're coming from. Today, we're going to talk about why does ORC exist? Why does this church exist? Why did God breathe this church into existence? You see, I believe that every living person has a purpose. If our Creator created us, there's a reason He created us. We're not here by chance. We're not here by fate. It's not just, you know, living life to enjoy life and that's all. There's more to it. There's a purpose. But I also believe every church has a purpose. And I'm not suggesting that every church has the same purpose. I'm not. I mean, ultimately, I think it is, but I think to some degree, there's different flavors, if you will, in the kingdom of God. So I want to talk about why does this church exist? Why are we here? Why are we here? You see, if we don't ask that question, then what chance do we have of fulfilling what God is calling us to do? Unless we know what it is God is calling us to do. And I had the privilege of being present when God spoke this church into existence. I was there. We went to a conference out in Colorado. And really, I was worship leader at a different church at the time. And so I was going to all the, it was one of those conferences that you could go to, you could choose which classes you were going to go to. And so I sat down with my schedule at the beginning of the week and I'm like, okay, I'm going here because that's about worship. And I'm going to go here because that's about worship. And I'm going to go here because that's about worship. And then there was one about church planting. And I'm like, why do I want to go there? I'm happy where I'm at. I mean, things are, well, mostly happy. You know, I'm doing what I think God is calling me to do right now, so no. And then after some persuasion, I decided to go to that conference, that one session on church planting. And as I was sitting and listening to these two men speak powerfully about church plants that they had done, God turned something around inside of me, and I knew God was calling us to plant a church. And I fought with it because I'm like, God, there's a million churches. Why do we need another church? Why? There's a million of them. For goodness sakes. In this country, you can go down practically any street and find a church if you want. Why do we need another church? And I really felt like God answered me, and He said, Sandy, because I don't want there to be any excuse. I don't want there to be any reason, valid reason, that people have for not getting connected with me. I was like, oh, okay. You know? Why do we exist? Point number one, our purpose. Our purpose. I believe our purpose comes from Acts 2, 46 through 48. It's the New Living Translation, and it says this. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, or some versions say sincere hearts, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. I don't think that means the goodwill of all the people everywhere. I think that means within the body, the goodwill of all the people within the body. But, and each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I think I see two purposes in that passage, and I think they definitely apply to Oak River. A, to attract unchurched people to God. To attract unchurched people to God. Well, Sandy, what is an unchurched person? It's a person who hasn't been in church other than Christmas, Easter, a wedding, or a funeral in over a year. That's the technical definition of an unchurched person. A lot of unchurched people believe in God. You saw some of them on the video that I just shared with you. A lot of unchurched people believe in God, but for whatever reason, they have bought a lie or a deception or whatever, that they don't need to be connected in a body of believers in order to be close to God. That's not biblical. You know, I don't like, again, like I said last week, I don't write the rules. Thank goodness I don't write the rules, because they would change every day if I did, you know. But I can go to a source, and that source is the Bible, that the rules don't change, you know. And I'm so happy for that. You know, my parents were really good at providing a good set of boundaries for me, and they didn't change the boundaries every day. So I knew what to expect. I knew how I could succeed, and I knew when I wasn't succeeding. I knew. They made it really clear. They didn't keep erasing lines and redrawing them. And I think that's what God does here. But one of our purposes is to attract unchurched people to God. Now, all next week, when we talk about focus, we're going to talk about how we're going to do that strategy. So I don't want to get into that today, but I want to tell you that's one of the reasons Oak River Church is here. We did not, I believe with all of my heart, God did not speak us into existence so that we could pull a bunch of Christians from other churches and grow a nice church here. That's not why we're here. We are here because God cries for the unchurched people surrounding this area. He longs for them to come back into relationship with him. He longs for it. And so he said, I'm going to speak Oak River into existence. It's going to look a little bit different than some churches do. They're going to dress a little bit different. They're going to act a little bit different. I'm even going to give them a woman for a pastor. Yeah, that's pretty different. But they're here because I long for those unchurched people to get connected with me. I long for that. But that's not all we're here for. As the passage we just read, it's also to guide believers into a closer relationship with God. It's to guide believers into a closer relationship with God. So am I going to stand at the door and say, if you're a believer, you're not welcome? No. Maybe a believer's going to a church where they're not getting any closer to God and they need a place where they can feel like they're being drawn closer to God. Welcome. Come on in. You know, when I talked about what we believe last week, I believe all that stuff, but I also believe sanctification, that word, that the big Christian word, that basically means you're becoming more and more like God every day. I believe that is a process. Okay, hear me. That is a process. And I think part of our job as a church is to guide people a little bit closer on that process. It's going to take some time. It has in my life, and it still is. You know, just when I think I have all my ducks in a row, I see one that's not in the row. And I go, okay, God, I need help with this one. It's a process, but part of why we're here is to attract unchurched people to get connected to God, and it's to attract believers, to guide believers closer to God. So that's our purpose. I tried to simplify our purpose, our mission, and our vision. Really, I tried to simplify it so that if anybody asks you, well, what is your church about? You'll be able to say it just like that. You'll know, what is it we're about? We're about attracting unchurched people to God, and we are about guiding believers closer to God. That's what we're about. How are we going to do that? Our mission, point number two, our mission. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. If you want to turn to it, I'll give you a second or two. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. We took our mission directly from Jesus' words. You know, I didn't say, let's this be our mission. A group of people didn't get together and say, what's our mission? No, our mission came from Jesus' words, and here they are. The disciples said, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. But he didn't stop there. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two scriptures. So what's our mission? Very simple. Loving God, loving people. Loving God, loving people. That's where we're putting our arrow marker, you know? That's where we're aiming at. That's our mission. Loving God, loving people. I think Jesus said all the other demands of the law and the prophets are based on these two, because if we really do these things, no one's going to have to tell us, thou shalt not kill. No one's going to have to tell us that. Does that mean we can go kill? No. It's just that no one's going to have to tell us not to kill if we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourself. Does that make sense? No one's going to have to tell us, thou shalt not do this, or thou shalt do this, or no. All that stuff becomes completely extra. I don't want to diminish the importance of it. You know how strongly from last week I believe in what I believe. I believe in strongly what I believe in. But Jesus said, if I'm going to narrow it down to two, here it is, baby. Love God, love people. And so we couldn't come up with a better mission than that. So we said, okay, we'll take that. We'll take that. So that's our mission, Oak River. So our purpose is to attract unchurched people to God and to guide believers closer to God. Our mission, love God, love people. What's our vision? What's our vision? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Again, Jesus' words. You can't beat what the big guy says, you know? Just can't beat it. It's there. It's good. Why not use it? Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I like that he starts out with that. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what's our mission? Our mission is making disciples. Making disciples. That's our mission. I didn't say taking disciples. One of my big frustrations, as you might be able to hear, is churches that start and their whole mission is to take disciples from other churches. I'm weary of that. I don't want to steal disciples. I want to make new ones. There's enough to go around. You know? If we get in the business of making disciples instead of taking disciples, what would happen to our world? We would turn this place upside down. Make disciples. But it's funny to me because I've never seen this in anybody's mission statement, I don't think, in my life. Because it is not a fun one to talk about. Teaching obedience. You see, I think a lot of new churches have cropped up, and I'm grateful they have. And I think a lot of them are even making disciples, but they're forgetting about teaching obedience. So it's like this. One good stiff wind comes along, and that new disciple is fragile, and they just get blown over like that. That fast. Until we teach obedience. Now, I'm not talking about beating someone over the head with obedience. I'm not. That is not my job. That is the Holy Spirit's job to convict of sin. It is. But if we don't understand why we believe and what we believe, then when someone comes to us and says, you know, I'm being told that this is okay, what do you think about it? You know what we're going to do? We're going to go, well, let's see what the Word has to say about it. Not, I think this, blah, 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 blah. Let's see together what the Word has to say about that. And let's teach obedience to each other. You see, I think you can teach me some things about obedience that I need to learn, and I can teach you some things about obedience that you need to learn, and together we will spur one another on to good works. That's what I believe. But if we don't want to talk about obedience because we don't want to offend anybody, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, we don't want to step anybody's toes, then I'm telling you, one stiff wind is going to come along and kablam, we're done. We need roots. We need roots going down deep into God's love so that we understand what He desires for us, because what He desires for us is best for us. So how are we going to understand what He desires of us unless we learn about obedience? So that's our mission, our vision. Those two are kind of weird to me. I don't know the difference in some ways. Mission, vision, they kind of all go together. I looked it up, but anyway, there they are. Our values. Point number four, our values. What do we hold dear? Have you ever been in a church or in a business or in a family or in any organization where there's a clash of values? Whew, that's hard. So I felt like it was important for us to put our values out on the line right up front. What do we hold as valuable here in Oak River Church? What do we think is important? Because if you're making a decision, do I belong at Oak River? Then this is what you need to know. Our purpose, our mission, our vision, our values. These are the things you need to know. Can I hook up and have unity with these people? Do my values, you know, are they the same as these people's values? A culture that loves passionate worship. A culture that loves passionate worship. Transforming truth, meaningful relationships, and the joy of serving with excellence. Those are big. A culture that loves passionate worship. One thing I love about our worship team is they do it with excellence, but they do it with passion. There is no doubt in my mind that these people, they love God. And they're sincere about what they're doing. I might not look like them when I'm worshiping. They may not look like me, but they are passionate about our God. And I respect that. I respect that. We're all about passionate worship. Transforming truth. Again, that comes back to the fact that we believe that when you receive the truth, you obey it. It transforms your life. It changes you from the inside out. Not because someone's saying, you can't be part of us if you don't do this. No, no. Because when you encounter God's love, you so much want to live up to the standards He's set for you because you trust that He knows what's best. It transforms your life. It changes your life. Not because you're trying to please men, because your eyes are so fixed on God. And if He says, honey, that's not good for you, go, oh, I'm staying away from that. My dad says that's not good for me. Staying away. Meaningful relationships. Oh, I love the relationships we have here at Oak River. I love that we have connect groups that you can get connected. We're going to talk about those in a few weeks too. I love that we have a place where you can get deeply connected with other people. I think that's so healthy and it's so good, and meaningful relationships have gotten me through the lowest points of my life, without a doubt. And the joy of serving with excellence. I love that the people who serve at Oak River, and we have quite a team, it's probably way off the charts percentage-wise, the number of people who serve as opposed to the number of people who attend Oak River, I mean, that percentage is way off the charts. We beat all the odds, I'm sure. We probably have an 80 percentile or something. It's ridiculous. It's good ridiculous, but it's ridiculous. The number of people who serve at Oak River. But I love that they don't just serve. Did you ever do that with your mom or dad? Like when they ask you to do something, you did it, but you did it with a rotten attitude? No, our servants here at Oak River, they're not like that. I love that they understand about serving with excellence and with joy. Oh, man, there's something so contagious about that. I was talking to Melody, Nick's wife, and earlier, a little while ago before service, and she said, I'm going into River Kids today. I go, what? And she was so excited, like you could see it on her face. She couldn't wait to be in there with those kids, first through fifth grade. And I was like, yes, yes. I love that. That's one of our values, serving with excellence. Another of our values is seeing God and people of all ages, attracted to the church and enjoying it. Truthfully, one of my goals is that when you walk out this door, you feel closer to God than when you walked in. And that's not bad. That's good. You walk away going, I can't wait till next week. That was so good. Sandy told me, I think it was Sandy or Helen, I can't remember, told me one time, she was like, you didn't preach long enough. You could have gone on longer. And I go, that's my goal. My goal is for you to walk away going, man, I could have sat there a little while longer and listened a little bit more, rather than I didn't think she was ever going to shut up. You know? I want people of all ages and God attracted to our church and enjoying it. Yes, enjoying it, liking it. Doesn't have to be boring. See, intimacy with God. And I know that freaks some men out, that word intimacy. Sorry. Just say closeness if you don't like that word intimacy. Closeness with God. Feeling like God is not some distant, far away entity that doesn't understand anything of what you're going through. Knowing that God is intimately involved in your life. Cares about every minute detail. Oh, a connection with God. Point D, acts of compassion through local and world missions. That's our value. That's one of our deeply held values, is that we don't just come in here and have a party every Sunday morning and forget the rest of the world. We come in here and have a party and we celebrate God and we celebrate each other, but then we remember that there are people out there who are hurting, whether it's physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever it is, we care about those people. And we want to have compassion on them like Jesus had compassion on the multitudes and do what we can to help them, to reach them, to heal them, to touch them. It's one of our values. E, supernatural acts of God. I was talking to Jen Lingefelter this week and I'm like, wow, have you noticed how many TV shows and movies have supernatural in them? We are forget as a church, we've become more and more afraid of supernatural while the world is more and more enamored with the supernatural. We're becoming irrelevant in that way. I want supernatural stuff to be from God in here. I long for that. I read Acts and I go, whoa, wow, I want that kind of stuff happening, not to attract wax, you know? Pardon me. I don't want that. I don't think that's what happened in Acts. I think it attracted people and they went, wow, this God that you serve must be real. If he can raise the dead, if he can, you know, raise up someone who's been lame from birth, your God must be real. I'm throwing away the rest of my gods and I'm worshiping your God. That's what was the result of supernatural acts of God. You know, I'm at a place in my life, I'm going to be honest, I don't know how that plays out. I don't. Because I've seen it done so poorly in so many cases. And I'm gun shy, if you will. But then there's this other part of my spirit that's like, oh, you can't throw that out. How can you get rid of that? That's from God. Those things are gifts from God. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I really don't. But I believe in supernatural acts of God. F, personal character, which displays itself through Christ-likeness in private as well as in public. Did you notice the one lady who said, it's hypocrites, it's all hypocrites? And this person, by her own confession on the video, wasn't a churchgoer. She had never been a churchgoer, it sounded like. I believe she said she had never gone to church. And the way she defined a hypocrite, did you catch it? I watched it like 4 times this week. She defined a hypocrite as someone who goes to church on Sunday and then lives normally for the rest of the week. Don't you find that interesting? Someone who doesn't even claim to be a Christian, who doesn't even claim to be a churchgoer, the way she defines a hypocrite is someone who just comes to church on Sunday and then lives the way they always have lived every other day of the week. God help us. That accusation is true in many cases, has been in my life in many cases. You see, I don't want us to do that. I don't want us to profess with our mouths to be Christians, and then everybody who's watching us in our lives go, they're no different than me. When things happen to them, they curse God. When you know, their kids, something happened with their kids, they question their faith. Ah, there's got to be a change. There's got to be a difference. There's got to be a peace in here and a joy that passes that other stuff, that overpasses it, that overtakes it. Like that song, I love that song. I have found a peace that plows on through the storm. I love that word picture. We know about plows, don't we? In Northeast Ohio. I didn't in South Carolina growing up there, but I do now. And so when I sing that song, I picture a big, huge snowplow. This just, and you know how the sparks are flying up off the pavement and snow is being thrown to the side. Now imagine that snowplow being peace. I have found a peace that plows on through the storm. And you see, if people see that in us, we won't have to say, honk if you love Jesus. They will be going, what do you have? Because I need it. I see that you're not perfect, but you have a peace that plows on through this storm that we're living in. And I got to have something of that. I have to know about that. And then G, living to fulfill God's purpose. Living to fulfill God's purpose. I believe every single person in this room, God created with a purpose. I watched this interview this week with Kim Walker. She's the one who wrote that song, Oh How He Loves Us. Didn't she also write one of the songs we did today? Which one? I have found. Oh, she's a really good worship leader from Redding, California. But I watched this interview with her this week. And one of the things she said, I loved it. She said that one time she was worshiping the Lord. And she said, God, what were you thinking when you created me? Is that not a cool question to ask God? Like, I've never thought like that. I just was so amazed by that. And I think everybody in this room, God was thinking of something very particular when he created you. And so I want to see all of us living to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. I want to see this church living to fulfill its purpose. That's what I want to see. That's what I long to see. That's what I actually do see already in my mind, in my spirit. I feel like I'm supposed to tell you something I didn't plan to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. About 2 years ago, I was driving down the road in a car that someone had just given to me that I needed. I didn't have a car. I had to trade in my other car because the lease was up. I couldn't afford it anymore, basically. And so I was without a car, and I was, and actually, before I turned it in, this car was given to me, which is amazing when you think about it. But anyway, I was driving down the road, and I was just praising God in my spirit. I was out loud praising God, and I don't know if you remember that old song. I'm revealing my age now. That Andre Crouch song, "How Can I Say Thanks?" If you remember, raise your hand, show your age, thank you. "For the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me." And it goes on, and then it ends. "To God be the glory." Sorry, I just changed keys. "To God be the glory." And I was singing that, and I was like, I was feeling it deep in here, you know, not even here, but like so deep. And it was just coming out as a love song to God. And I finished it because I was so grateful that for my friend who had given me the car, and for God who had spoken to them to give me the car. And I was like, wow, God, you're so good. You're so kind to me. And I'm just thinking that as I'm driving. And all of a sudden, I heard, not with my ears, but with my heart, this word, metamorphosis. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Because I wasn't thinking of that word, you know. It just came out of nowhere. And I'm like, huh? Huh? What? You ever do that one with God? Huh? What? And then he began to, I can't describe it because it's not like I heard this with my ears, but somehow my spirit knew it, that God was speaking to me, and he was saying, "Sandy, all of your life, you've been a worm." "Thanks." He goes, "No, you were a pretty worm." I go, "Thanks." "And you did amazing things for a worm. And you went great places for a worm. But now, I have put you into this cocoon. And in this cocoon, you feel like you're dried up and you're hanging on the bottom of a leaf by a thread. And you think you're dead, but there's actually more life inside of you right now than there's ever been. Because I'm turning you into a butterfly. And as a butterfly, you're going to go places you never could have gone as a worm. And as a butterfly, you're going to see things you never could have seen as a worm." And he went on and on. And I was like, I cry. I always cry when God's touching me in some way. Just get used to it. And I'm crying. And it really profoundly touched me, as you can tell, even 2 years later. But when I was worshiping this morning, I felt like God said, "Share that story, because there's a lot of individuals in this room who've been in a cocoon, and they think they're dead, and they think they're dried up, but there's actually more life burgeoning within them than they've ever had before, and they're getting ready to break out of the cocoon and become a butterfly." And you know what? I think God's not just speaking that to individuals in this place right now, but I think he's speaking it to us as a church. You know, we did amazing things for a worm. We saw some amazing things as a worm. And then we went through this season where it was rough, wasn't it? But God is saying, get ready. Get ready. You're getting ready to pop out of that cocoon. You're leaving it behind, and you're going to go places as a butterfly you've never dreamed of going when you were a worm. You're going to see things as a butterfly you never dreamed of seeing as a worm. And you know what? I think this purpose, mission, vision, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that draws people to you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit right now that is jumping inside of some people. It's like jumping. God, because they recognize the truth when they hear it. And your truth is that you created every single one of us to go places we never would have dreamed of going on our own, and to see things we never would have dreamed of seeing on our own. And God, we never want to lose sight of you. We have to remain in you and let you remain in us so that we can go on to accomplish this purpose, mission, and vision and values that you've called us to, Lord. We want to live up to your dreams of us as Oak River. We want to rise up and become what you see with your eternal eyes that we can be. That's our heart cry, Lord. We want to live to fulfill the purpose you called us to. We want to attract unchurched people to you and guide believers closer to you, God, because that's all about you. It's all about you. And so, God, do with us what you will. And let us see with eyes of faith, God, the potential for what you're calling us to. Not so we can grow a big fat church and be proud that we grew a big fat church. No, God, so that we can bring people into your kingdom who are out there and hurting and need you and don't even know it. Let your kingdom grow through us, I pray. Amen. Last week when I sort of accidentally included a reading for everybody for the week. You know, when I did that, read this on Monday, read this on Tuesday, I got a lot of positive feedback on that. So I said, you know what? Why not? Let's do it again. So on the bottom of your note page, I included some readings this week. If you want to all read the same thing, this is what I'd like to start with. John. Love the book of John. I could read that 5 times in a row, I think, and get something new out of it. It's so rich and so good. So there's your readings for the week. If you would like to participate, there's no pressure. If you already have a reading system or whatever that you're following, I don't want you to, you know, depart from that. I'm just saying, if you don't have a reading system, here's a little tool that might help you. And remember that after the service, if you would like to participate in communion, or if you feel like you need someone to pray with you, one of our elders and spouse, John and Colleen, are going to be over at this table, and they would love the opportunity to pray with you if you feel like you need prayer. So we invite you to come over and participate in that.